Right now, we are going to be speaking with Elizabeth Carruthers, who is a program coordinator at Community Health and Wellness. Their slogan, their family taking care of yours. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Very happy to be here.
Community health and wellness. We've done interviews before and we've talked about it before, and it's interesting because one of the things I looked at when I was going to speak to you was Betty, Betty, when it first started out, was only at one or two locations, and you have really expanded Betty to pop up around our whole northwest corner quite a bit over the course of a month now.
That's right. Yeah, we're able to bring Betty out into the community. You know, honestly, I am a dietitian and coordinator for the diabetes program, so I may not be the person who is the most up-to-date or informed about Betty, but we are having this mobile medical unit go out to many different sites around the northwest corner to bring primary care to folks who aren't able to get into our locations.
And I think that primary care also, we'll get to how really that primary care influences a lot of what you do. By the way, Betty is at the following locations: the Sharon Hospital, Tuesdays at 12 noon, Wednesdays at the Union in Cornwall from 9 till 12, also on Thursday, June 30th, July 14th, and the 28th, they'll be there as well. Then, of course, it goes in North Canaan at the Pilgrim House, and you can also find it at the Community Soup Kitchen in Torrington. So it's throughout our area. And the reason I say it ties in with you, being someone who's involved with nutrition, a lot of those problems by people going to Betty can find out that they have a certain need, condition for that, and this is where you can step in and help, right?
Exactly. You know, rates of diabetes have increased more than double over the past 30 years, and rates of pre-diabetes, currently 38% of adults have pre-diabetes, and only 10% of that number actually know they have it. So when people can get screening tests, they become aware, hey, I have prediabetes. There's a lot you can do to change that. It's reversible, reduces the chance for progressing to diabetes. So people have an opportunity to manage their health. Community Health and Wellness has established two programs to help people work with both prediabetes and diabetes. We have the Prevent T2 program, the CDC-based curriculum that's demonstrated to reverse prediabetes through very straightforward, simple lifestyle changes. This program is a year long, gives people the support, the camaraderie, the guidance needed to really implement changes that are doable and that they can really stick with.
You know, it's interesting listening to you talk about prediabetes. Years ago, I've always battled weight. Right now, I'm at 238 pounds. When COVID started, I weighed in at about 365 pounds. I've decided to lose weight because of COVID and stuff like that. But years ago, I was diagnosed when I was actually, once again, right around 400 pounds as pre-diabetes. And what happened with me is I did go on a diet. I controlled what I ate and also followed some regimens. And all my pre-diabetes diagnosis did go away, went away.
Right.
And that actually shocked me, And what happened was when I went for health insurance, we were changing plans at the business I was working at. They had it on their thing that I was diabetic. So I said, no, that was pre-diabetic. You can run all the tests now. You'll see that I don't have that. But because it was on there, they wouldn't. And so that affected my health insurance. And I don't think people realize how important diabetes is as a diagnosis, because it's not something that you can just shrug off, because sooner or later it can affect your health at work. It could even cause death.
Right. Yeah. You know, prediabetes is reversible, and you've had that experience. Diabetes, in some cases, the abnormalities in blood sugars will completely go away, but you can't really say the diabetes is totally gone when we're talking about type 2, because the body is still vulnerable, has a predisposition to have those blood sugars, you know, go up again. So when it comes to diabetes, having support for managing diabetes is really, really important, and that's another program that we have established. It's called Diabetes Education. So when a person has diabetes, 99% of the work that they do to manage it is really on their own. You know, they have visits with their healthcare providers, but that's minimal. A person with diabetes has to manage healthy eating, staying active, monitoring blood sugars in some cases, taking medications, healthy coping, and problem solving. And when people have support to learn more about their diabetes, develop skills in all these different areas, and have someone that they can always check in with when they need some extra help, people do so much better with managing their diabetes. And this diabetes education is a service that's covered by Medicare and insurance. And it's recommended by the American Diabetes Association that every single person with a diabetes diagnosis receive that care. So we established a program, and we're seeing really fantastic results. Research has shown that when people receive this type of diabetes education, they have better blood sugars and lower risk for complications and much better quality of life.
Now, you mentioned type 2. Can you explain to people who are listening the different types of diabetes and the differences and the effects?
Sure. Type 2 diabetes is a condition that starts years and years and years before the diagnosis with something called insulin resistance. So, and this is the most common. 95% of the diabetes we see around in the United States is type 2. They used to call it adult onset, but now, you know, we're seeing it in kids as well. So the early phase is insulin resistance, and what that means is the body is not responding very well to the insulin. So the pancreas says, that's okay, we're going to help the situation, I'm going to make more insulin. So your pancreas is overworking, producing a lot of extra insulin to overcome that resistance. What that tends to do is it metabolically it makes it easy to gain weight. So there's a strong association with insulin resistance and weight gain. Over time, and this process can go on for like 10 or 15, 20 years before the diabetes manifests, over time, the pancreas begins to lose its ability to keep up. It can't make enough insulin. And then, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing pre-diabetes, the blood sugars are coming into the slightly elevated range and then eventually into the diabetes. So it's a very long progression, and it's reversible with lifestyle changes. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune condition where your body is losing the pancreatic cells that produce the insulin. It's usually a more rapid onset, and those folks will need insulin, you know, right off the bat to manage it and need the insulin for the rest of their lives. And generally, you wouldn't call that a condition that could be reversible.
No, that's so. I think we find out with more of these diseases, managing the disease is now equally as important as eradicating the disease. Now, when we talk about diabetes, is this something that people can self investigate? I mean, are there symptoms that can spur them on to go to their doctor and ask them, or is it just something that people should check regularly with a healthcare provider?
Well, it's a really good idea, you know, to be screened on a regular basis for prediabetes. And like I said, 38% of adults have prediabetes, and most, 90% of those, are unaware of that fact. So getting a regular screening test from your doctor is the first step. The next step is knowing the lifestyle, the things that reduce your risk for prediabetes. So it's actually pretty straightforward. If your BMI is above 25, losing about 7% of your weight, and establishing 30 minutes of exercise about 5 days a week. So these are the two most powerful interventions that research has shown to reverse prediabetes and decrease risk for developing diabetes.
I guess the old adage is you are what you eat. I mean, this. How long have you been involved with diagnosing and treating diabetes?
I guess I'd say from about 1996.
Do you find that Americans and the people that you see, the diet is a major influence in diabetes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, nutrition is super important. You know, I work with clients. Many people come to see me and they say, I know what I should do. I just can't do it. And I say, yeah, you know, most of us know the basics of how to eat healthy, but my job is to narrow it down so you can identify the changes that are going to make the biggest impact with the less amount of effort. So I refine it for people, and I help give them structure and a plan that will be workable. And then I work with people, you know, step by step to make those changes.
All right, this is just one of the aspects of why Community Health and Wellness is such a fantastic organization, and more people should know about it. And you're very easy to contact. After this interview is over, we'll have this up on our on-demand page, and we'll have all the different links that you can go and find out more information. But as we part, one last thought, once again, for people who might think their diabetes, one last statement as to what they should do.
See your doctor, ask for a screening test for diabetes and prediabetes, and you can also go to doihaveprediabetes.org. That's a website where you can take a prediabetes screening test, and you can also find sites that have diabetes prevention programs. So just like Community Health and Wellness is running a diabetes prevention program, these are all over the country now. There's been a big nationwide push to make programs like this available. So Community Health and Wellness is here. It's local. Our diabetes prevention and diabetes education programs are available, but there are more out there. So if you have family, friends who are asking, that's a great resource to check on to find additional resources for support.
And that brings me back to my first statement, which is that more and more we find out here in the rural areas, we're losing healthcare providers, and that's what makes Betty so important, because you can use Betty as your introduction to find out these things and then start to deal with these problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we have a site in Torrington, Winsted, and we're in the process of building a new site in Canaan as well, in part through support by the Foundation for Community Health that has been so such an incredible collaborator and support for our organization. We have, and we in addition, we also have 6 satellite sites. So Community Health really is making an effort to make our services available as widely as possible to this area, which, you know, transportation, of course, is a big issue for folks.
Well, we that's why we like to point out how important the Foundation for Community Health is. A lot of people don't realize the number of programs. They don't run. They help fund. They help set up. They help provide the funds so these services can be out there and available to people out here in the rural area. They do a great job, and so does Community Health and Wellness. Thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Community Health and Wellness, and once again, Foundation for Community Health, really important to make our lives out here better, our health better with all these different programs. Once again, you can find out more information on Community Health and Wellness by going to our on-demand site, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, click on Interviews, find this interview, and we'll have all the links and all the information that you need.